listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, the best radio station you'll ever hear.
This is radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smart his guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Here Comes Daylight Saving Time, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here, and you'll find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around up there. When you get there, you will see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 82nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A pre-recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. Top story of the week. Once again, we are holding steady at 119 followers on Twitter. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 30th, 2022, but it will be an executive session, so you won't be able to hear it. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI local station board that you can revel in will be held on Wednesday, April 13th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting this past Wednesday night on March 9th. Some people were still demanding that elections be done over because their candidates lost. Good grief. Talk about Trumpism. I insisted that the results of the election to fill a seat on a committee that rarely, if ever, meets be revealed to the local station board. And with a little bit of difficulty, that got done. Yeah, the people complaining lost that election again. This time it was a clear victory. No tiebreaker was needed. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 454,265,693 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,034,174. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 79,484,454, and the death toll in America was 966,520. So, 8,887 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. this week's death rate is once again significantly lower than it was last week. But it's still a huge number of deaths every week. And the United States is no longer at the top of countries with new infections anymore. We're in sixth place because Johns Hopkins, the site, now ranks countries by the number of new infections reported over the past 28 days. And so we have fewer than five other countries in the past 28 days. Doesn't count deaths, it only counts new infections over 28 days. And of course, the pandemic is not over. Not with, you know, more than 6 million dead around the world and over 966,000 dead in America. It's not over by a long shot. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And as I keep saying, this was all mostly preventable. Millions and millions of deaths were preventable. So now it's been more than 2 years since we were at WBAI's studios at 388 Atlantic Avenue. And yesterday, March 11th, was another anniversary. It was on March 11th, 2020, that the World Health Organization declared that COVID-19 had reached pandemic proportions. Yeah, lives have changed, and more than 6 million lives have been lost to this virus. In other developments, Joseph Lapato, Florida's Surgeon General, and an appointee by Governor Ron DeSantis said Monday during a panel that Florida officially was not recommending children receive any of the approved COVID-19 vaccines. He said Florida, quote, is going to be the first state to officially recommend against the COVID-19 vaccine for healthy children, unquote. Yeah, political boobs are really taking over from real doctors and science. And we have doctors like this guy who betray the science and betray the medical profession by giving in to the politics. He's an appointee. I guess he was asked, hey, will you do this little thing for us? Would you do this favor, just as Trump asked Ukraine more than a year ago. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll do that to get this job and have this on my resume. God, they're recommending against the vaccines, even when we know that there have been loads of kids getting it, the young kids getting it. And Florida has a death rate of children who've died of COVID-19. And now a lot of places are saying no masks. Get into school, kids, and spread what you can to each other. So this should be criminally actionable. Of course, I guess we'll have to wait to see how many kids end up dead after this. Then it would really be criminally actionable. I mean, just saying something stupid isn't criminally actionable, but then having people go by what you recommend and then have their kids die, yeah, that could end up being a big problem. In lighter news, or brighter news, daylight saving time comes to save me at 2 a.m. tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning at 2 a.m., we spring forward and we say, oh boy, we get to have a later sunset. Tomorrow, the sun will set at about 7 o'clock, which is where I like to have it. I like it when the sun sets at 7 o'clock in the evening or later. And, of course, now we're rushing toward the time right around and after the solstice when the sun will set at, I believe it's 8:31 at night. Oh, boy. Oh, all that sunlight. And, hey, maybe this year I'll even be able to get out into some sunlight. Who knows? Yes, in the past 2 years, I've been out for a fun thing once. and we went to Coney Island. I am hoping that enough of the pandemic will be not with us anymore, that I'll be able to go out and say, ah, I can breathe out here now and just hang out and be in sunlight and walk around and deal with some of this enormous amount of fat I've got in my belly right now. Really, I have. I gotta lose some weight. And spring will arrive 1 week from tomorrow on Sunday, March 20th at 11:33 in the morning. So we should all be awake for that, I suppose. And, oh boy, we'll be glad to have that happen when there's more daylight than night dark and we can absorb some of that daylight. And, of course, we have to pitch. Management wants us to pitch as a part of Women's History Month. And so here we go. Take it away.
To listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with ability, with intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up. I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the national convention. And I mean this, I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought. In terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people, first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people. And for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program. Or call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
Yes, it is Women's History Month. Would you like to hear more of what you just heard, Shirley Chisholm and many, many, many other famous women? You can get a 8 gigabyte USB drive full of programming from Pacifica's archives with an added bonus of a WBAI tote bag.
Whoopee!
All for becoming a BAI buddy. What's a BAI buddy? Well, for $15 a month, you're a sustaining member. And that means you get charged once a month and you help to keep us on the air and you help to keep the Pacifica network thriving. Just call 1-212-209-2950 and say you would like to make a pledge, become a buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you want to get the women's history stuff.
Well, yes. And so yes, the number is 1-212-209-2950. And BAI is making a big push to try and get a lot more BAI buddies. We need a bunch of more BAI buddies. One of the deals with the BAI buddy thing is it's steady income. And it has been holding at a certain number for some years now. And we've just done our budget. We've just had our FY22 budget go through. Wait a minute, R. Paul. Didn't FY22 start on October 1st? Yeah, it did. Well, okay, we're a little late getting that budget in. However, it's also a deficit budget. And we have to raise money and make sure we can pay more bills. And the way we do that is to ask you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and when the call center picks up, say, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and I believe they want you to give $15 a month. Makes you a sustaining member. It's a BAI buddy. And for $15 a month, you get this 8-gigabyte USB flash drive with a whole load of women's history stuff on it. And you get a thrilling WBAI tote bag. Not that the USB flash drive is that big that you need a tote bag to carry it around, but, you know, they give you one of those also. 1-212-209-2950. And WBAI for Women's History Month puts on a lot of programming about the issue, and we do that for other stuff too. And other stations don't do this, but it's the nature of BAI that we start doing Women's History Month. And I remember when we started doing this decades ago, and that was a new thing then, and others copied it a little bit. Not as much as we do it, but others copied it a bit. So 1-212-209-2950, and to say, yes, you want to have more of this women's history programming. And of course, we've also got women's programming on here all year long. There are women all over the air on WBAI. Why? You may not know this, but Pickles of the North is a woman.
Oh, my.
Yes, she really is. I think it's been certified somewhere, hasn't it? Anyway, whereas I'm just a lady. And so...
I don't know about that, Sailor.
Although one of my ex-girlfriends used to say, R. Paul, you're such a girl. But anyway, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call and say, yes, you want to help keep Back of the Book on WBAI, and you want to keep WBAI on the air. We really do need to deal with our deficit in our budget, and if we can't come up with more revenue, there are going to be cuts of some sort, and they're going to be unpleasant because there's not a lot left to cut. You can help us with that. You can help prevent the cuts by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, when they pick up at the call center, tell them, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And for $15 a month, you will get that 8-gigabyte USB flash drive and a massive WBAI tote bag to keep it in.
Yes, and you tell them that's what you want. I want the women in history and a tote bag.
Yes, they should know what that means. Again, 1-212-209-2950. If you could please give us a call at that number, it would be good, and it will help the radio station. And as I said, we just did a budget. It's a deficit budget. The station needs the money, and if we don't get enough money from this pitch, from this month's pitching, we're going to end up having to make cuts. Management wants to get... I think it's 1,500 more BAI buddies. with 50, I think it's 1,500, with that many more BAI buddies, we're going to be able to do better. We'll still have a deficit, but we'll do a lot better, and it will show that, yeah, we do have support out there. It will also show management that this radio program has support out there. So please, please, if you can, dial 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them you want to get your Women's History Month USB flash drive and that tote bag. Thank you if you're going to call us up, and I hope you do.
Speaking of women and Women's International Women's Day and Women's Month, we have a friend who lives out on the West Coast who took part in a really interesting project. Our artist pal Michelle in California got to do some repair work on a really cool display that is now in Washington, D.C. It's a big group of 3D printed orange statues of 120 women professionals in the STEM fields. And of course, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. I guess they don't say mathematics, just say math.
Yeah.
It's snappier. Anyway, these things are really cool. They showed them on the news the other day. And they're life-size, so it was really fun to see some of the women who are represented there, like standing next to their statue, and some of them put their arms around it. Anyway, the project is a collaboration between the Smithsonian and the If-Then Initiative. I think that stands for if you see it, then you can be it, or words to those effect. And it encourages girls to go into STEM. The statues were in a bunch of places, including Dallas, and Michelle and other artists got to spruce them up before their big display out on the East Coast. And they're going to be, I believe, in Washington, D.C. for the rest of the month. And they're pretty cool, and Michelle had a great time doing this. She got to work on them, do her part in a big hangar out in Alameda, I think, where there's a big naval base, I think. So it was just so much fun to hear from her and then see this, see the result of her, like, sprucing, she and many others. So this is a great project, and you can check it out online if you can't get to D.C. And perhaps one day it will come to New York. I don't know.
And the reason they're orange is because that's the color of the plastic filament, because they are, again, 3D printed. And so they took, you know, a bunch of photographs, I guess with a holographic camera or something, of these women. And then they programmed that into a computer. And it went, I guess, I don't know if they did in chunks or if they had a really big 3D printer. You could make a really big 3D printer. You could make a 3D printer that could print something that's like 6 feet tall, I suppose. And, of course, they had to use these what's called a filament. That's a little teeny-weeny plastic thread-like stuff. And that's what the 3D printer uses. And it goes back and forth and does it. And so that's why it's all orange and everything with that.
Yeah, the repair work consisted of, I think Michelle said they had to shoot foam inside it to shore up the, you know, the strength of it, and do a little repainting. Because, you know, I'm thinking since they were outside.
Yeah.
You know, here.
Out in the elements.
Yeah, that's where they've been doing it since they were outside in D.C. They've been outside in other places. But what a cool idea, though.
Yeah. I mean, besides rain and all of that, you also have the occasional bird probably visiting. And then, of course, you have sunlight.
Yes.
You have a lot of sunlight on these things, and they probably lose some coloration, I'm guessing. And so, yeah, that's an interesting thing, especially since we got her letter, and then the next day or so, we see it on TV. And, of course, prices are going up. Inflation is really going up, really wiping out the value of any money those of us on a fixed income get. And the electric bill is going up like crazy. Our last electric bill was just mere pennies, literally pennies short of $100. Now, for some of you, that might be, oh, yeah, well, we get that all the time. Some of you are big electricity users, I'm sure, and you pay big electricity bills as a regular thing. We've never had an electricity bill this big. And I don't know. I guess we're going to have to look around and see what to do. Maybe I have to shut down the computer more or something. I don't know. Maybe that could do it. I don't know that the computer really uses that much juice, but, and of course we have mostly LED lights, and we have, in fact, we're recording this with an LED light over us right now. And we still have some compact fluorescents, but they don't use up a lot of juice either, although the LEDs use up even less. And so we're kind of conservative with this. We don't blast big, heavy incandescent lights on all the time or anything, but man, $100, this is bad stuff. A lot of people are complaining about this, and there are complaints going to the public service commissions. And thing is, you know, Con Ed is big, and they're, nobody's going to be able to claw back these increases from them. This is permanent. I mean, if we have to do $100, and what's going to happen in the summertime when the rates go up with even more because it's summer, and we're running a fan, we're going to have well over $100 every month for the summer months, I'm sure. This is bad stuff, and it's sure is bad for us.
And they're going to raise the rates again, or try to, next year as well. So, yeah, this is amazing because our energy usage did not increase one month to another, and kapow, the bill went up like $20. So
Even at the previous rate, it was kind of, yes, like we were amazed at that rate. And then, boing, this thing happens. I don't know. We have at times wondered if somebody's been tapping our electricity, but it turned out they're not. So this is just Con Ed really gouging us. Oh, well, I don't know what anybody can do about it now. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Of course, there's a war on. Actually, there are a whole bunch of wars on, but there's one big war on that is certainly getting a lot of publicity. And that is, of course, Russia invading Ukraine and just flagrantly taking it over, just as Nazi Germany took over Poland in 1939, and as the Soviet Union also took over Poland in 1939 because they had an agreement with Hitler, and they agreed that they would both attack Poland and they would split it in a certain way, and Nazi Germany would get some of it, and Soviet Union Russia dominated would get the other part of it. And they did that, and they had their joint victory marches together. Oh, they were such friends. And after that, Russia took over Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. And they had an excuse for that, too. Oh, they were after the Nazis. This is what Putin is saying, because this is World War II rhetoric from the Soviet Union, and he wants to bring back the Soviet Union. And yes, those of you who were deluded into thinking that the Soviet Union was a communist state. Do you get it now? Anyway, it never was. It was exactly the thing Putin has. It was a dictatorship with these guys being in charge. In any event, so those three countries were just taken over by the Soviet Union with the excuse that, oh, we don't want the Nazis to get them. And then the Soviet Union attacked Finland on November 30th, 1939. They started a war with Finland and tried to take over Finland. And again, they didn't do well. And this impressed Hitler because the Soviet Union had this big army and all these resources, and Finland was a tiny country, you know, it's all icy, and it's a tiny country, it didn't have a big army, but they fought, and they caused big losses on the Russians, and the Russians thought, again, they were going to walk over because of their material superiority, and they didn't, and so Hitler saw that and said, wow, the Russians are really weak, say, Next spring sometime, why don't we invade Russia and take it over? And this got delayed by various times. It didn't happen until right after the summer solstice, which is what really doomed Operation Barbarossa, as it was called. But anyway, so we have Putin reenacting 1939 again, and also reenacting not reaching his military goals in a way that everybody had expected him to, and in a way that I think he expected to. And they have that, what is it, a 40-kilometer long line of trucks and tanks and armored vehicles and all of this that are pressing on to what's now called Kyiv. I was always taught it was pronounced Kiev. I don't know. I guess they changed things.
Well, I believe that is the Russian pronunciation.
Oh, the Russian pronunciation is Kiev.
Yeah.
Ah, so Kiev is the Ukrainian pronunciation.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So we were being given the Russian pronunciation in school. Anyway, they have all that 40 kilometers of vehicles, and they are closing in on Kiev, and they are going to get there. But they're taking a long time, and they're getting blown up a lot. There are a lot of tanks getting blown up, and the Ukrainians are able to retrieve some of those tanks. See, one of the things about a tank is you can blow it up, and in a lot of cases, you can repair it. Because the main thing you do to a tank is kill the people inside of it, and it can't hurt you anymore. And a very important thing, which also happened during World War II, was who has control of the battlefield after the battle? Whoever has control of the battlefield after the battle gets to pick up stuff off the battlefield. And so the Ukrainians, they have some tanks too, not as many, but they're also old Soviet tanks, which is what the Russians have. So they go out there and they look and see what's there. If they have a tank that can be repaired, if it's like got a hole in it, which usually what happens is you have a munition that bores a hole through the armor and then sprays extremely hot gases into the interior of the tank, and that kills the tank crew. And in that case, usually what happens is they just throw the dead bodies out, tow the tank away, do any repairs they need, which aren't that much, and in one day it can be back in the field for the Ukrainians. Plus, of course, if possible, and if the tank is too badly damaged, they still scour it for like ammunition. It'll still have some tank ammunition in it sometimes. Sometimes, of course, the whole thing blows up like crazy and the turret goes flying up in the air and everything is completely fried. And that's just, you know, that's the kind of thing you then use to block the road. You can use all this stuff. And so what's happening is they're fighting them, and they're really, the Ukrainians are doing very well. Well, doing well for their size against a gigantic enemy. And yeah, it's a real David and Goliath thing here, but for their size, they're really punching above their weight. And so Putin is, you know, really pissed off. And he doesn't like all of this. And so instead of just going after the military, he's going after the Ukrainian people. He wants to break their morale because they all have a an attitude about Putin and Russia. Like when the Russian warship showed up at Snake Island and said, "Give up or we'll shoot you." And the Ukrainians radioed back, "Russian warship, go bleep yourself." And, you know, so they got, you know, all captured. They didn't get killed, but it opened fire and it captured them. And I don't know, there's a rumor, I haven't seen this confirmed, that that Russian warship has been sunk. That'd be nice. So they're losing warships, they're losing tanks, they're losing men. They've lost certainly thousands of men by now. And the Ukrainians are putting up quite a fight. So now it's time to take another page out of Adolf Hitler's book and say, let's do terror weapon stuff. And so they're going, they're blowing up, they're aiming their missiles and rockets and artillery at residential neighborhoods. They're blowing people's houses up. And they have these large size apartment buildings, and they're firing ballistic missiles into those. Dehouses just loads of people, and that's why you have millions of people trying to escape. And then they have these phony baloney agreements that they make that, oh yeah, people will have a corridor, a safe corridor, and then when people get on it, they open fire. And then they say, oh, here's a really good safe corridor. You get to go into Russia or Belarus, which are both attacking Ukraine right now. So that's not such a good option. But still, people are leaving, even though they're getting shelled as they leave. And after video was seen of the aftermath of a Russian bombing of a maternity hospital in Mariupol, in Ukraine, Russia started claiming that the pregnant women shown evacuating the hospital were actors. They showed a video of a woman online who was doing a video blog about cosmetics or something like that, and they claimed that she was the woman in the video of the bombing, and she was an actor, and this was all an act. Well, first of all, the women do look sort of alike, but people in that area tend to look kind of alike. They're ethnically the same folks. So, you know, a lot of people are saying it's not the same woman, and maybe it's not the same woman. And but, you know, they're just saying, oh, this looks a lot like her. Looks a lot like her in a video isn't exactly proof that this woman's, one, an actor, and two, isn't pregnant, and three, that the Russians didn't purposely bomb a maternity hospital for its military value. Anyway, so, you know, doesn't mean she's the same woman. But what if it were the same woman? What if the blogger had gotten pregnant at some point and was in that hospital when the Russians bombed it? I mean, you know, she's a woman of childbearing age. She could have made a video blog about whatever it was, 6 months or a year ago, or more than 9 months ago, and, you know, then gotten pregnant, and now she's trying to give birth, and a missile, a ballistic missile, slams into the hospital she's in. So the stuff the Russians are doing here, it's made to fool stupid people. And, yeah, that's similar to something else. It's a lot like the disinformation from the right wing about the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in 2012. And this is the stuff that Alex Jones moron got sued all over the place for, because he said it never happened. He said they were actors. Nobody was killed. And it was all just a plot to by gun control advocates. And, you know, so people sued him because they lost their children. And you have this moron on the radio and on online all the time claiming that, oh, this is not true. These kids didn't die and all of that, and they're actors. So they sued his ass. And I don't know if they're actually going to get money out of this. I think they won every case. I don't know if he has enough money. I know he started advertising more junk to try and get people to give him money so he could pay it out. But this is a disinformation campaign very much like what Alex Jones and the other right-wing creeps have been using for some years now. And that disinformation campaign about the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, that also may be related to Russian sources. We know that Russian sources have been spreading disinformation. We know that they took a part in the 2016 election, and they've been trying to undermine America with all of these kinds of weird right-wing tropes that they put in. And, well, they helped to get Donald Trump elected. That helped them a lot. And they want the right wing in America to really become more powerful because that weakens America. And also, the right wing in America is awfully stupid. I mean, look at the stuff they do. Denying, you know, buying this stuff, buying this idea that the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre didn't actually happen. You got to be stupid to buy into that. And, you know, especially after a while there and, you know, with all the police that that happened. And you got to be stupid to say it didn't happen. And here we have the Russians doing the same thing, same playbook they used for Sandy Hook to stir up the right wing in America. They're trying to say now, oh, yeah, we didn't do that. These are actors. But they are clearly attacking residential neighborhoods with no military targets in them. And this is state terrorism, big state terrorism. Some people, even people with some relation to WBAI, are getting all excited by an issue about biological weapons facilities in Ukraine. This is something that also came out of official organs of the current Russian Empire. Apparently, this idea even has QAnon associations. That's interesting. One of the reasons for having biological research facilities is to make vaccines and treatments for if and when biological weapons are released in your country. Certainly any neighbor of Russia, which even seems to have wiped out some of their own people with a leak from a bioweapons facility during the Cold War, would be wise to take precautions in case Russia decided to use such weapons on them. And the Russians are like telegraphing that they might actually use those in Ukraine. Besides the simple desire to reconstruct the Soviet Union, another motivation for this invasion, by the way, may be the mineral wealth of Ukraine. They have large lithium deposits. Apparently, 500,000 tons of lithium oxide are just waiting to be dug up. And lithium isn't just for bipolar depression. It's the big element used in rechargeable batteries these days. And with electric cars being brought close to being practical, and therefore there being a lot of them, there's going to be a lot of demand for lithium to power those cars. So that's another thing that Russia is after. They want to go in there and really get a monopoly on some of the mineral wealth that is in Ukraine. And oh boy, that's going to be bad news.
Another effect of the war, of course, this isn't the horrible, horrible death and destruction that's going on in Ukraine, courtesy of the man that both my 91-year-old mother and my 88-year-old aunt compare to Adolf Hitler, and other things that they've said about him, I can't say on the air. But I must say I agree with them. We have the effect on scientists and many projects they're trying to do. Scientists famously do collaborate with one another in many fields. And of course, one of the fields we're most interested in is space. Things that go into space, discoveries made in space. You have this complete and total yutz over at Roscosmos. He's Russia's space chief, Dmitry Rogozin. He's a bureaucrat. He said nasty things and pro-Putin things back in 2014 when Ukraine was first invaded. And now he's doing the same thing. And he's not only saying nasty things. I think Twitter is his favorite venue to say stuff.
Maybe not anymore.
Maybe that's true. Maybe not anymore. That's true. But they've already stopped one launch from happening there because it's a British company that was sending up some satellites. And oh, they don't want to do that. And one of the remarks he made about another rocket was, oh, we got to cover up the U.S. and Japanese flags because, you know, people will like that better. Now you have the decal. It's not a decal, but, you know, they put the flags on the rockets. So. And here's a few other things they've been doing. This is from the New York Times, the Science Times, on March 8th. Late last month, Roscosmos withdrew more than 80 Russian personnel from French Guiana, where the European Space Agency had its only launch site and flies commercial Soyuz missions. Then ESA, the European Space Agency, said a joint robotic mission to Mars by the agency in Russia, expected to launch later this year, was now very unlikely to proceed on time. And on Thursday, Roscosmos said it would stop cooperating with Germany on joint space station research projects. And they're doing a bunch of other things, too. They're going to withhold rocket engine parts, and it's just, well, when you have a bureaucrat running things, they're going to get behind, you know, whichever dictator is in power. So that's what's happening there, and it's too bad, and I don't know what's going to happen up on the space station. I wonder what the astronauts on the Chinese space station think of all this, because they're going around there, too. There's some of them living up there as well, you know.
Yeah, they're... China is backing Putin largely because, you know, they see Russia as a great ally and not much of a threat.
Well, especially after all this, I would think so. I mean,
they see Russia as the useful fool in their bid to take over the world. Yeah, that may be it. Who will outsmart the other one? I don't know. And how will America work out in all of this? These are things we just can't tell right now. Jack Petoz is 17 years old and a junior at Flagler Palm Coast High School in Florida. He led a, quote, planned and pre-approved rally, unquote, at his school to protest against House Bill 1557, the so-called Don't Say Gay Law. School officials had approved the demo, but then changed their minds when about 500 students filled the school stadium, carrying LGBT plus infinity and transgender pride flags, chanting, quote, say gay, unquote. Young Mr. Petoz said in a statement that, quote, administrators began confiscating pride flags and attempted to remove them from campus. As the leader of the rally and a proud member of the LGBTQ plus community, unquote, he said he encouraged fellow students to, quote, continue demonstrating our pride, end quote, and not to give in to the school's, quote, unconstitutional seizure, unquote, of their flags. As a result, he was, quote, indefinitely suspended, unquote, and escorted off the school campus by those school administrators. There's an online petition condemning those school administrators' denial of the students' right and demanding that young Mr. Petro's suspension be rescinded. The Don't Say Gay bill was signed into law by the odious Governor DeSantis. Meanwhile, in Utah, House Bill 11, passed both chambers of the legislature in the last hours of the 2022 legislative session. The original bill, which proposed creation of a special commission to evaluate the eligibility of transgender students who wanted to play sports, was changed into an all-out ban in the proposal by State Senator Dan McKay, which was released just hours before the end of the session. Sneak attack. According to a statement from the group Equality Utah, quote, HB 11 has been amended to become a total ban on transgender youth in school sports, unquote. In an interesting development, Utah Governor Spencer Cox, a Republican, said he will not sign the bill, which bans transgender student athletes from competing in sports aligned with their gender identity into law. So he's not going to sign it. He said he was shocked with the last-minute revisions to the bill and that he was, quote, very disappointed in the process, unquote, and, quote, I just want trans student athletes to know that it's going to be okay. We're going to work through this, unquote. Oh, boy, I bet you the other Republicans are going to attack him now. I wonder if he'll get attacked by Trump. You know, that's the real death knell for a Republican these days, is if Trump really goes after you. And refusing to sign this rather underhanded thing that was done, Jesus, I'm glad some Republicans haven't completely gone over to the bad side of everything. Well, we have ex-cops getting away with rape and murder lately. Brian Beck, a former deputy with the Shelby County, Tennessee Sheriff's Office, was accused of raping a 14-year-old girl. The teenager said that the abuse occurred over the course of 20 months, starting in 2016. So it wasn't just, it didn't just happen one time. It was repeated over 20 months. Well, Brian Beck copped a plea that will keep him out of jail and even off the sex offender registry. Brian Beck's punishment will include supervised probation for 3 years, 150 hours of community service and random drug testing, as well as a suspension of a 4-year prison sentence. And although he was charged with raping the 14-year-old, the deal will not require him to register as a sex offender. This is amazing. This guy is essentially getting away with rape of a kid. Now, how the hell does he get away with that? I mean, I guess something's going on in Tennessee there, huh? Jesus. Then we have the other issue. This is much more publicized. Another cop in Florida, Curtis Reeves, is an ex-cop, was found not guilty of murder after he shot and killed a guy for throwing popcorn at him in a movie theater. And I remember that case, and I said, Jesus Christ, this guy feels entitled to take human life all he likes. Maybe he's done it before. Maybe he's done stuff like this. You know, it is Florida, after all. And, wow, you know, the jury said, yeah, throwing popcorn at somebody is deadly, and he got to defend himself because he feared for his life against an unarmed man or a man armed with popcorn. Jesus Christ. So we have these cops getting away with rape and murder. This is terrible stuff. And earlier we mentioned that the World Health Organization declared the pandemic happening on March 11th. And that was, as you're listening to it, it's yesterday, 2 years ago yesterday. For us, we're recording on March 11th. So for us, it's 2 years ago today. Well, March 11th is another anniversary. March 11th, 2011, Fukushima. They had that big earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and it slammed into the Fukushima Daiichi reactor and just overwhelmed everything. It flooded stuff. It smashed stuff. And they still don't know what they're going to do with it. They've got that part of Japan is just locked down. It's like Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Chernobyl. And so, this is another anniversary of something else that has happened that got out of hand because, you know, stuff does happen. I mean, earthquakes happen. They make tsunamis. Maybe Japan needs to rethink the whole nuclear power on the shore stuff. But anyway, we've said all of that before, and just recognizing that it was 11 years ago, as you hear this program, 11 years ago yesterday, that Fukushima happened. And in Scientific American, we read that 3 decades of Amazon satellite data reveal that illegal mining incursions have quintupled on indigenous lands in the past 10 years. These operations contribute to the Amazon's deforestation, which causes 8% of global carbon emissions. So, oh, Jesus Christ, look at that. We also have an interesting thing here from Scientific American. Researchers in northeastern England unearthed an exoskeleton fragment from the largest arthropod ever discovered. In a genius called Arthroplura, by referencing related fossils' body proportions, the team estimates this millipede, and it's a millipede, you've seen millipedes probably, little things, you know, with a lot of lugs, a lot of legs. This millipede would have weighed 50 kilograms and measured 2.6 meters long. Oh, man, can you imagine running into something like that, a millipede that weighs 110 pounds and it's like, what is that, 7.5 feet long? Oh, there's a science fiction story for you, all right. Oh. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back again next week. Take care. Watch out for the big rainstorm. It's coming in this morning for you. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
And as I said, we'll be back here next week. Take care of yourselves with that storm. And above all, remember what that watching out for Putin being Q in QAnon Dormouse said.
Michio Kaku, host of Exploration, which reports on the impact of science on society, which is usually heard every Wednesday evening. First of all, Exploration is moving. That's right. From now on, it'll be broadcast on Saturdays at noon. So write that down. Mark that down on your calendar. Our time slot has been moved to Saturdays at noontime. Second, let me emphasize the importance of supporting WBAI with whatever you can afford. One way is to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member in the name of Exploration for $10, $15 or more a month by calling 212-212. 212-209-2950. Now, write that number down. It's 212-209-2950. Now, another way is to go to our website, wbai.org. Click on to the WBAI button on the upper right-hand corner of the website. So please now, call 212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org and make that pledge for social change.
Hi, this is Tony Roberts, and you're listening to WBAI.